The Trump indictments are about sending you a clear message. Any dissident opposition to the ushering in of this illegitimate authoritarian regime will result in your obliteration. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. So professional sports is supposed to be where we go to see the apex of human achievement. In the past, we elevated the most triumphant warriors and explorers and adventurers. Well, today our world is mostly explored, you know, with the exception of Antarctica. Warfare is fought mostly by machines rather than by men of flesh and blood. So instead, today we have sports. We spend billions of dollars and countless hours watching people honed to the absolute peak of physical conditions, duke it out on the field of play or the court or elsewhere. The most successful of these athletes are awarded millions, tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars. So this ought to give these athletes freedom. We have the concept of FU money. You might have heard of FU money. Well, what's more FU than I have $200 million in the bank and millions of adoring fans? I can do whatever I want. Yet, somehow, sports is full of some of the most PC, watered-down, sterilized, neutered, and cowardly imaginable. It's been trending this way for years. Take Drew Brees, for example. During the Floydapalooza of 2020, the New Orleans Saints quarterback said he didn't support kneeling during the national anthem because it showed disrespect to the American soldiers who died in service to that flag. His comments were spot-on, inarguable, absolutely correct, but yet caused an immediate controversy. Now, think about it. At that point, Brees had already won a Super Bowl. He'd already been paid $200 million in salary plus who knows how much in endorsement dollars. He was headed into his final season. He played for a team in a deep red state, a state that voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. If any athlete in history had the leeway to stand up and say no to the growing BLM madness, it was Brees. And if he had, who knows? Maybe that frenzy would have been weaker. Maybe authorities and cops and hell, even ordinary people would have felt a little bit more encouraged to stand up against rioters and looters. Maybe they'd have stood up against the cultural arson that tore down America's priceless statues and monuments, causing $12 billion in damage sweeping across American cities over a three-month period during the summer of 2020. That's what Drew Brees had the chance to do. Be a strong and wealthy and famous person standing against this cultural madness. But no, he didn't. Brees failed. When he faced the slightest blowback over his statements, he folded absolutely immediately. He issued this pathetic apology begging for forgiveness for the crime of saying that he stood with American troops rather than with people protesting the flag and burning down our cities and robbing and looting our corner stores and raping and murdering people in the streets. And then, incredibly enough, his enemies complained that one apology wasn't enough, so he made yet another pathetic apology. Well, since then, things haven't gotten any better. Damar Hamlin died on a football field last December before allegedly being brought back to life by CPR. Nothing like that has ever happened on a football field, not in at least a half a century. It was absolutely, obviously related to the vaccine that the NFL forced him to take, but there's absolutely gigantic pressure to not admit what happened. Why? Because Pfizer is a big NFL sponsor. So is the rest of Big Pharma. Plus, there's pressure from the illegitimate pedophile in the White House. Don't step out of line. So Damar Hamlin, if he's still left among us, doesn't talk. No, instead, the person who's pretending to be Damar Hamlin tells these ridiculous stories about how it was definitely commotio cordis that caused his heart attack, even though that kind of heart impact has never been seen in a football game, and Damar Hamlin didn't even suffer the kind of chest blow that's known to cause that condition. But the guy pretending to be Damar Hamlin has got the message. Just play along and we'll make you a wealthy hero. Rock the boat and we'll ruin you. And it's not just the NFL, of course. How about pro baseball? The Los Angeles Dodgers invited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to put on a blasphemous drag show. It's unbelievable. These people are just like Drew Brees. Superstars who've made hundreds of millions of dollars and winning championships coming to the very ends of their careers with the absolute freedom to take a stand on something without having to worry about anything but a negative press cycle, and they wilt. The NBA fired a top executive because he liked a tweet criticizing China. Why? Because the entire league is hopelessly beholden to them. You'll never see LeBron James criticize China or go against BLM for that matter, but you will see him dress up as a woman to promote progressive insurance, just like he did back in 2014. In basically every single league, players are pressured to wear ridiculous Pride Night jerseys and join in over-the-top celebrations of homosexuality and transgender freak shows. That's pro sports. It's a woke, pathetic, emasculating joke everywhere. With one exception. Mixed martial arts. The Ultimate Fighting Championship has become the heroic exception to this gross left-wing march of every sports league. In the UFC, athletes can say what they really believe. And they do. About religion, about Donald Trump, about whatever they want. No apologizing, no groveling to the press. No, none of that. It's fun. It's exciting. It's beautiful. Well, right now, two UFC fighters are in a beef, as is common in these sports. Israel Adesanya from Nigeria is set to fight against Dricus du Plessis, a white fighter from South Africa. Israel is leaning very hard into the racial angle of this fight, as this clip shows.
So you're right, the great Israel Adesanya.
Yeah, I don't know about great.
Chill, chill. That's right. We're fine. Relax. This is my African brother right here. Let's go. What's up? Let's go. Yeah, what's up?
Get up.
Don't do. Yeah, my African brother. Yeah, my African brother. What's up?
I'm African, but I ain't no brother of yours, son.
Let's go. You my for real. I'll show you.
So what are you saying to everybody in New Zealand? What are you saying?
I'll tell you one thing. Yo, I don't need a DNA test. I don't need a 36 and me to know where I'm from. You don't even. If I do a 26 and me, they'll say I'm from Nigeria. Do a 26 and me DNA test. It'll tell you where you're from. I will show you where you're from.
And guess what? No one cares. This was Dana White's reaction to all of this.
People say nasty things, right? But the tension between those two and kind of the racial undertones and all those things, how do you...
What were the racial undertones?
Driga says he's the real African fighter, and so, you know, Israel drops some N-words in there tonight.
So what was the racial... Who did? Who dropped the racial?
Israel was saying over and over, yeah.
He's black.
50 N-bombs.
Okay, he's black. Who gives a...
I was going to say, so you don't have any concern about the way the build-up, the tension between those two?
I could care less. This is the fight business. Israel Adesanya can say whatever he wants to say. Who gives a... Why, are people about that?
Some people.
Of course they are. Oh, hey. All right, got it. Yeah. Too bad.
All right.
Yeah.
Too bad. Absolutely the right answer anytime anyone complains about what you have to say. By the way, one of the attendees at the latest UFC fight was Donald Trump himself. After the fight, Dricus du Plessis hopped out of the octagon to show his appreciation. Another person at that event was musician, online star, and great friend of this show, Anomaly, who joins us now. Anomaly, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks. That was a great monologue. Very interesting.
I mean, so Dana White absolutely hit it on the head. You don't like what he had to say? Too f***ing bad. Turn off your TV. Don't go to the event. Don't pay for it. We're not going to change a damn thing. This is the fight business, and that's the way that every single professional athlete, every manager, every coach, every owner, every administrator should be treating fans and the opposition to, you know, just playing sports. Just play f***ing sports.
Right. And there's people that say way crazier stuff too, like Sean Strickland. I don't know if you know him, but he's like just a very, I don't want to say white trash in a bad way, because he would call himself that. Like, he's classic white, just doesn't give a says whatever he wants. He's like, women shouldn't vote. You know, he calls people like dirty Brazilians. Like, he just says whatever, you know, like whatever he wants, and says, I am white trash, deal with it. Nobody cares. Bryce Mitchell says he thinks that there's false flags. He says he thinks the earth is flat and there's no penalty. There's no fines. You know, they could go as far as they want racially, religiously. I've heard that they told him not to pray, which is kind of crazy, like in the arena, and they've taken away flags because of the Russia stuff, which is pretty whack. But as far as the press conferences, they could say whatever they want. And between Drickus saying he's the real African because he lives in South Africa and the racial tension, I love that they just let it live, let the people be men. And at the end of the day, there's nothing realer than two men, regardless of your color, you fight and whoever wins, wins. That's
yeah. Let's just throw hands. Nobody's pulling any guns. We're not going to the south side of Chicago and blasting your mama who's standing in the street or, you know, raping your daughter. No, they're just going to go in and they're going to throw hands. It's the most primal thing ever. I mean, this goes all the way back to the gladiator days. Huge arenas were filled with hundreds of thousands of people to gather and watch two men duke it out, in that case, fight to the death in many cases. But this is just this is the most primal that it gets. Now, you look at other sports. You look at football. You know, guys put on pads and they blast each other's heads off. You look at hockey. I mean, these guys wear hardly anything at all as far as protective padding is concerned. They're flying across the ice and they're smashing each other into the boards. They're taking pucks off the face. They're fighting in front of the net. Even these guys are protesting and saying, no, I'm not going out there and warming up in this jersey with these rainbow colors all over it. So why is it that the ownership and the league doesn't get it? Why do they keep placating to this super tiny percentage of faggots in our country?
Well, I think that they could kind of get away with it, where you had the Blue Jays guy. He just basically didn't even go as far as you did. He just said, like, he believes in the Bud Light boycott or something. They fined him, I think, or they made him apologize. He got kicked off the team. And now he's not on, I don't know if he's on any team, so they can get away with it. And I think you're onto something as far as you take the strong men in society, right? People that used to be warriors, leaders, a lot of times, like George Washington wasn't a or else he wouldn't have been the leader. He had to be a strong guy too, that people respected. They suck up all the strong men, put them in these leagues, indoctrinate them with left-wing stuff. And then if they question it, they, like Kyrie Irving shared that Amazon documentary and he had to basically apologize. Like I said, with Sean Strickland, you're talking about just throwing hands. He drives a motorcycle around Vegas and he'll fight with people in on a road rage thing. And he'll be like, come to the UFC Apex or come to my gym and I'll spar you. He asked people to spar him off of a road rage incident. And if they try to pull a gun or a knife on him, he goes, you're a like, let just fight me. Like he's you got to see his interviews, man. He goes for it. Like, he's way outspoken and he still has a monster sponsor. They don't care in the UFC, which is amazing to see.
So what is this big push all about, Anomaly, in your eyes? I mean, you're a musician, you're a musical artist, you know you're an influencer, you've been around a lot of this conversation. I respect your opinion. What is the real absolute push to force this onto everybody that you're gay or that you're bi or that you're trans or, you know, that you're a pedophile and everybody's just supposed to accept it? I mean, what is the big push all about? What's the ultimate goal? What's the benchmark of success that these pedophiles are looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I guess as a Christian, you know, everybody's flawed, everybody has sins, but if you lean into your sin, have no remorse for it, there's a slippery slope. And I think that it just goes further and further. Like with abortion, you know, I have my stances, but if someone said, I'm trying to figure out when the life is born, I can somewhat respect that, even if I disagree. But if they're like, hey, let's just abort it mid-birth or after 9 months, like clearly these people have lost their minds. So I think governments have figured out a few things that one, in order to control people, you get them to believe in these social narratives. Then you have left-wingers who wear a mask, get their vaccine, and think it's a conspiracy theory not to. You know, they could profit off big pharma, keep people controlled. On a human nature thing, I mean, you know, they'll always say this is a conspiracy theory. I know you don't give a but the media will always be like, well, you know, we don't believe in population control. We believe in population collapse, or basically like the reduction of population over time, or they word it a certain way. But the thing is, what makes babies? Straight people. What won't make babies? People that are gay. So I don't know if that's the entire agenda, and I'm not going to say it is, but this fact that they're trying to do this further and further and further, at the end of the day, our species exists because people make babies, and they're trying so hard to celebrate for an entire month a group of people that don't make babies. Why not have a baby month? You know what I'm saying? Celebrate couples that have 7 children to sustain America and the human race. It's like so twisted on so many different levels. I think it's government control, complete debauchery. And I think just like raw evil, if uncontrolled evil is out of control. And you know, in certain Muslim countries, they'll like chop your arm off if you steal. In America, they treat you like a hero. So our whole society is just like inverted, and you get in more trouble for speaking the truth than you do for being a degenerate thief.
Yeah, you get canceled everywhere. You get your ability to spend money or rent a vacation home or take an Uber cab or anything. I mean, they take away your ability to book flights. They harass you at TSA. I mean, this is all just for really, honestly, just, you know, contemplating, pondering the truth. I mean, this is about, you know, questioning a government that's forcefully vaccinating children, and then they're dying in droves at record smashing numbers that we've never seen before. I mean, you're seeing athletes that are kicked off of professional baseball teams. I know one personally who played for the Tampa Rays, lost his contract because he wouldn't take that poisonous injection. Still won't take it, still looking for a contract. Now that some of these COVID nonsense hysteria guidelines are relaxing, you know, he hopes to get back into professional baseball. But I mean, he was willing to lay down on a sword. We need more people like that. We need more people to understand that this is a war of good versus evil. I mean, this is a really evil, diabolical, cynical plot. And I agree with the depopulation. I mean, Died Suddenly is all about that. They're doing it. Kamala Harris actually just said, in order to save the climate, we have to depopulate the planet. We have to reduce the population.
I saw that. There's a reason they don't let her speak that often, right? I haven't seen a video from her in a year. The first one's that. It's like, no wonder they keep her under wraps. She's not the brightest tool in the Democratic box.
No, she's definitely not the, as George Bush once said, the brightest bulb in the knife drawer. That guy.
Yeah.
That murderer. Something else.
To wrap it all up, I think that, you know, there are some flaws in the UFC like any sports league, but the fact you have these strong men who are really probably the toughest men, they could probably beat up most NFL players, and they're able to speak their mind, and they have a CEO and Dana White who doesn't care. No matter how crazy what they say is, you agree with it, disagree with it, it's really refreshing, because I think that I've lost all interest for sports. I mean, if I watch a sport, they say no homo, they get fined. You know, they share a documentary, they get fined. Kyrie Irving was enemy number one for 2 years because he didn't get the vaccine. And then the second he shares a link on Twitter, then they make it about the link. It's like they've hated him for years because, first of all, he talked about the shape of the earth, whether people agree or disagree. That takes some balls. You know what I'm saying? You get a $100 million contract. I remember I bought his shoes right after that. I didn't even know if I agreed, but I'm like, the fact that he's willing to talk about that stuff, I'm going to buy the Kyries instead of the LeBron's.
I don't know if I agree either, but I will tell you that, that NASA's going to have to prove it to me. I don't trust any of these people at all whatsoever. Today actually marks the anniversary of the fake Apollo landing on the moon, by the way. That was completely fake. I know that was fake. Aaron Rodgers, another example. He got in all kinds of trouble, faced all kinds of heat for the controversy surrounding the treatment that he was getting with his ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. He's since done a whole bunch of I told you so interviews in the wake of that. Dana White, we love you. I'm just gonna say this. Dana White, I am petitioning you to bring back prayer to the octagon and allow for flags. I mean, American exceptionalism is something that is fading away. You're acting as an absolutist when it comes to free speech. Take it all the way now. Be an American exceptionalist. Embrace the culture in any country where the UFC is appearing. Allow whatever flag represents those fighters to be present at those fights. People should be proud of their country. Absolutely. I've got 30 seconds left, Anomaly. Finish it up.
Yeah, I agree. I think he caved on the whole Russia thing, because instead of just taking away the Russian flags, I don't think he wanted to do that. He took away all the flags, which is super lame. But yeah, I appreciate the free speech, and I appreciate that a lot of real men out here are speaking the truth. I don't support other sports leagues anymore. It's boring. I'll watch a few games here or there, but it's important, man. I think they're taking the strong men in society and muzzling them. I just pray that they
don't cuck. Don't ever stop. Don't ever buckle under the pressure, because it's only going to increase. You know, Rumble is seeing that right now, this huge increase in pressure from, you know, Elon Musk amplifying something and trying to take down Rumble for the sole purpose of, because Twitter wants to, Elon wants to have a video hosting platform. And if it's anything like Twitter is right now, it won't be free speech at all. And so, I mean, there's a lot of pressure out there from a lot of billionaires and a lot of people of tremendous influence. And I just really commend Dana White. I appreciate the fact that he's standing right in the face of these journos and saying, look, who gives a f-? Like, seriously. Right. Oh, they're complaining that a black guy said the N-bomb. I don't give a sh-. Who cares? How did it negatively impact my daily life today? Did it change my time with my kids? Did it make me less happy with my meal at dinner time? I mean, no, it didn't. I don't care. And if I didn't like it, or if it really bothered me and I was some kind of a soft, I would just turn it off. That's all. That's all I would do. I don't even care if my kids hear it. This is life. Right. This is what's happening out here in the real world, and we have to prepare these kids for what they're about to face, if we can, possibly. Anomaly. Yeah,
First Amendment's important. I think if you have a better argument, you could always just provide that. And as far as like the racial double standards, I think they pushed it so far. People just, they don't react the same way anymore. It's not 2015. It's like people, it's not shocking anymore. It's like, let's just have the convo. Let's make a joke. Everything's not terrible.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Everything doesn't have to be so polarized. Everything doesn't have to be a construct. Anomaly, thank you so much for being here. I always enjoy our conversations.
Yep, thanks for having me on. Appreciate you.
We're seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it. Zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Or go to goldco.com/stew.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax. Mass deception. America controlled by fear. Good news. There's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
Okay, so here's a new one. Incredibly amazing stuff here. Scientists have actually discovered a mushroom that, get this, grows new brain cells. Through a newly discovered phenomenon called neurogenesis, it's now known that the brain can actually regenerate itself, and this exotic mushroom stimulates that process. I mean, they should give some of this stuff to Joe Biden. To learn more about this and the new breakthrough product, go to newtopia.com/stew and use promo code StuPeters10 for 10% off your first jar. I got to tell you, this is a huge breakthrough for anyone who just wants to be smarter. And I mean, who doesn't want that? Again, to learn more, go to newtopia.com/stew. Again, newtopia.com/stew. So there's massive movements right now in this totalitarian crackdown by the illegitimate Biden regime against all of its enemies. Of course, you being the number one enemy. You are the final target. Make no mistake. Obliterate, eradicate, eliminate any dissent to the ushering in of an authoritarian, murderous regime. So you've probably seen the news about Donald Trump. On Sunday night, he got a letter from Merrick Garland's hitman, Jack Smith, telling him that he's now the subject of the DOJ's January 6th inquiry and to present himself before the grand jury. Make no mistake, we know exactly what this is. This letter is a sign that another wave of criminal charges against Trump is imminent. And this time it's not over some nonsense with documents sitting in Mar-a-Lago. No, this time they're going to accuse President Donald Trump of orchestrating an entire insurrection against the federal government. And that matters because if Trump is convicted of that, then under the 14th Amendment, he's ineligible to ever become president again. And that, of course, is exactly why they're bringing the charges in the first place. But there's another prosecution that matters just as much, maybe even more, in fact. 2 days ago, the Attorney General of Michigan, Dana Nessel, brought felony charges against 16 people for the crime of serving as alternate Donald Trump electors in 2020. That's their crime. During the 2020 election, while Trump was still disputing the results, these 16 people signed documents saying that they were the state's legitimate electors and ought to have their votes counted. Well, they didn't get this idea out of nowhere. No, back in 1960, in the election between Kennedy and Nixon, there was a dispute over Hawaii's electoral votes. Nixon got the most votes on election night, and to be honest, he probably was the real winner if he took out fraud, but Kennedy disputed. And as part of that dispute, the Democrats had their own slate of three electors certify that they were the real electors. Now get this. First, the plan worked. The recount handed the race to Kennedy and his electors were counted as the official ones. Second, a Hawaii judge said that this worked specifically because Kennedy had made sure his own electors cast their own ballots, and if they hadn't, it would have been too late to revoke Nixon's electoral votes. That's what happened in 1960, and that's exactly what the Trump team was doing in Michigan, and by the way, in every other state that they contested. They were creating alternative slates of electors, so if their efforts to expose fraud and overturn the results bore fruit, the left couldn't say, too late, you didn't have a slate of electors available. It was fair. It was legal. And it was something that the left had done themselves in the past. But the new left is even more totalitarian than ever. They have a plan, and that plan is to obliterate everyone remotely connected to Donald Trump. That includes Trump and his closest advisors, but also everyone in their orbit. Everyone who so much as looked at the Capitol on January 6th, and now everyone who helped Trump with contesting the 2020 results. By the way, the people that they just charged are almost all in their 60s and 70s. A couple are over 80. The charges that they're facing carry maximum penalties of more than 80 years in prison. And they aren't stopping here either. There's a long unfolding plan to try and strip the bar licenses of any attorney who assisted Trump's campaign and filed election challenges. That's how the left operates. They are obsessed with power and control. The impulse in play here is actually the same one that makes them do things like repeatedly go after the same cake shop in Colorado for not making cakes for gay weddings. The left absolutely cannot tolerate any dissent of any kind. They are totalitarian to the core. So it makes perfect sense that at the exact moment they're cracking down on Trump and all of his supporters, they're practically flaunting how much they themselves can get away with. The latest IRS whistleblower, a gay whistleblower by the name of Joseph Ziegler, testified to Congress confirming Hunter Biden did receive flagrant special treatment for cheating on his taxes and a whole bunch of other crimes. Multiple felony indictments were recommended, but he received none. And the agents were repeatedly pressured to not investigate what was going to the big guy. It was all lies and all corruption all the way down, because that's what our justice system has become. 85 years for being a pro-Trump grandma, get off scot-free for being the drug-addled, corrupt, traitor son of a Democrat president. Gavin Wax is a New York-based conservative activist and columnist. He's also the president of the New York Republicans Club, and he joins us now. Gavin, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
I agree with everything you said. I mean, this is the United Stalinist States of America. This is the kind of era we're entering in now in American political history. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I'll start with the defendants in Michigan. Like you mentioned, I think the average age was something like 67. Who is the victim in this crime for forming an alternative slate of electors? I don't know who the victim is. I don't know what crime was committed, but you are making the overarching point here that what they are trying to do is stigmatize, criminalize, and isolate any sort of dissent in society, any sort of political opposition to the current regime based in D.C., the Biden regime, the establishmentary uniparty regime, however you want to give the term to it. This is what they're doing. They are trying to destroy political opposition, and they are weaponizing these government institutions against God-fearing, patriotic Americans who have committed no crimes. That's what they're doing to Trump supporters. Now, what are they doing to President Trump himself? As you mentioned, they clearly view him as the biggest threat. They clearly view him as the best chance to retake the White House for Republicans. The polling shows that. He never polled this well in 16 or 20. He's polling very well vis-a-vis Biden. He's obviously going to win the primary given the numbers there. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to knock him out through legal warfare. They're trying to indict him in every place in the country they can for all of these, no pun intended, trumped up charges. And they're trying to knock him out of the field. And this should tell everyone listening to your show who the system fears, who the establishment fears, who the powers that be fear. They don't fear Ron DeSantis. They don't fear Nikki Haley. They don't fear any of these jokers, Mike Pence, whoever else. They fear one man, and his name is President Donald J. Trump.
And by extension, they fear every one of us. They fear all of his supporters. They fear the masses of people who are supporting of Trump the message, the 2016 America First agenda.
Correct. They're scared of his message, his movement, this ideological realignment that he's brought into the American body politic. They're scared of him empowering voices and supporters and other activists who are backing him, elevating them to positions of power where they could clean the swamp, they can drain the swamp, they can bring about an American national renewal. They're scared of this because they know he can't be controlled, that they have no control over him, and that when he gets back into power, he'll be on a revenge tour, and he'll be fighting, tooth and nail to fully enact his Make America Great Again agenda, which he was doing with quite efficiency given the circumstances during his first term. But this is a scary point in time for our country. And I would like to say to the establishment, you know, Republicans and these moderates or these independents or whoever else who may not be fully sold on the Trump train, if you think this is going to stop with Trump, I mean, you're wrong. Read a history book. They are using this as a test case to enact the same playbook, the same agenda against anyone in the decades or generations to come who pose a threat to the system like President Trump has posed a threat to the system. So if they're able to get away with it, if they're able to knock Trump out, if they're able to suppress his movement, suppress his political candidacy, they are setting a horrible and dangerous precedent for the future of our republic, which is really on its deathbed, sadly.
What do you believe about any of these so-called America First conservative, you know, firebrand fighters and their silence? I mean, why isn't anybody really running to Trump's support?
No, it's actually pretty sad. We've seen a lot of people over the last few months stay on the sidelines in the primary. They've stayed quiet. These are individuals who made their entire careers and followings off the Trump bandwagon. And all of a sudden, when the chips were down, they were silent, they were quiet, or even worse, they were actively stabbing him in the back like Brutus on the Senate floor. I mean, Trump is certainly Caesarian in many ways, and he's been very forgiving to many of his enemies in the past. I think that's not going to be the case moving forward, but I think it is very telling that we do have a sort of controlled opposition within the party apparatus, within conservative media, who are basically sort of hoping that Trump goes away, who are being quiet and watching how things, you know, play out. I mean, I had the honor to be at Bedminster last night, and there were a handful of influencers there, not many, there were a handful, but, you know, it clearly shows that many people who were once, you know, rabid Trump supporters are now laying in wait to see what the feds do, to see what see how the primary unfolds. And it just goes to show where their true allegiance lies. But I'm going to stick with Trump. I'm with Trump till the end. And I think just based on the facts alone of what we are talking about in this limited discussion, how they're coming after him to such a degree, with such vitriol, with such unprecedented legal force and action, judicial force and action. That alone tells me all I need to know about the state of our republic and the state of Trump's candidacy and the threat it poses to the corrupt run institutions in the Beltway.
What do you suppose is the threat to the establishment and to our fake government that Trump actually poses?
I think at the end of the day, it comes to him being in a position of power where he can make appointments, where he can fire people, where he can influence the direction of the country, where he won't be beholden to special interests, to the military-industrial complex, to some of these big globalist corporate entities. He is his own man, and they can't control him. They don't understand him, and they think of him as like a sort of renegade. And I think he'll go in there like a bull in a china shop and just wreak havoc just by his very nature. But I also think what they're most scared of is that Trump would elevate and promote a new sort of generation and coalition and class of individuals and thinkers that could, you know, staff the administration of state, be the next 1,000 people in the administration, in the government, and those people will be able to turn the gears of power, to turn this behemoth, this Byzantine, you know, bureaucracy against the left, the same machine that they've built, the same Frankenstein monster. We can turn it against their creator. I think they see Trump as that exact figure, and they also see him as a representation of all that they hate. They see him as a proxy. They see him as a representation for the vast majority of a God-fearing, you know, regular Americans who are just trying to live their lives day to day, who love this country, who hate the direction it's heading, who hate the elites. He is, you know, the anti-elite. He is this anti-hero even, if you will. He's coming in to DC as an outsider, as he did in 16, and he's going to return again. And they're scared. They're fearing it because they realize the first term they were able to sort of suppress him. They were able to sort of manipulate the machinations in DC to their advantage. But they also realize that now he's had time out of office to study, to learn, to investigate further, and he'll come back in stronger, more robust than ever. And like I mentioned, on a vengeance. And I think they're scared of that vengeance. I think they're scared of him consolidating power and wielding power even more effectively against them. I mean, look what he did with his hands effectively tied behind his back in his first term. And it was still one of the most important four-year terms in American history, certainly in modern American history. Imagine if he was able to do it again without the implication of an upcoming election. He's able to act without thinking about, you know, re-election and all the intricacies involved there. He's able to go in and do what needs to be done, get it done, and set the stage for future Trumpian candidates to succeed him and hopefully continue this legacy. This is the dying breaths of an establishment. This is the boss battle, if you will. And if we let them take him out, it's going to really set the stage for what they could do in the future in terms of eliminating any threat to the system. And we simply can't have that.
So let them take them out was the words that you just used. If we wanted to prevent them from taking him out or taking us out by proxy, how do we do that?
We have to keep fighting. We have to let our voices be heard. We have to peacefully assemble. We have to peacefully protest. We have to wage litigation warfare. I work for an organization, the National Constitutional Law Union. You know, we're fighting, you know, for the constitutional rights of Americans every day, you know, for the January 6th defendants, for people who had their lives ruined by the vax mandates. I mean, the first step in their strategy is to instill a sense of nihilism and demoralization and convince us that all is done, that the battle has already been lost, and that they have insurmountable forces on their side. I think a ton of it is projection. I think a ton of it is psychological psyop warfare, where they're trying to convince us that, you know, just lay down our arms, lay down and stop fighting because the battle is already over and that they're this sort of, you know, they're this behemoth, they're this cabal, and they're all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent. I think in reality, we're dealing with something, you know, maybe more mundane. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but we're dealing with what we've seen throughout history. We're dealing with a political elite that is fighting tooth and nail to preserve its power, its wealth, and its control. And they operate like any other political elite have throughout the centuries. And there's ways to beat them. There's ways to defeat them at the ballot box, in the courtroom, spiritually, in the court of media and public opinion, like you yourself are doing. It's a multi-front war, and we can't just focus on one or the other. We need to wage a multi-front war. We need to wake up America. We need to, you know, so-called red pill Americans and let them realize that they actually have a lot of power and that the elites fear us. And if they didn't fear us and they didn't fear the movement and they didn't fear Trump, they wouldn't need all the propaganda. They wouldn't need all the misinformation, the gaslighting and all of these tactics, you know, judicial or extrajudicial. They wouldn't be doing this if they were confident in their position.
They wouldn't need Elon Musk to shut down Twitter accounts, for example.
Exactly. Or allow, you know, DeSantis bot armies in Eastern Europe to run, you know.
I mean, I believe a lot of that is fake. The whole, you know, Elon Musk thing, I think it's fake. He's not a free speech absolutist by any means. He's going after Rumble for taking down, you know, some comments of Nick Fuentes, which we don't have time to get into right now. But
he's paying people who sing his praises, and he's not paying other people who don't. It's
fraud, actually. You know, it's total fraud.
Scheme.
Yeah. This is the guy that wants to put chips in everyone's brains and turn, you know, transhumanists all over the place. The elephant in the room here is the vaccine, you know, and Trump is still out there pushing it. What you say about that?
Listen, I am not in politics because I find anyone to be perfect or the Messiah or anything like that. I think we're moving things on the margins. I think Trump is our best man, is our best bet. Do I agree with him on some particulars? No. Do I think he made some mistakes? Yes. Do I think he recognized that? Yes. Do I think he's going to move forward in a new light, in a new vision, with a new force, you know, behind him? Absolutely. The vaccine stuff was unfortunate. And, you know, I'm not vaxxed. I fought very hard against the vax mandates here in New York. I lived as a second-class citizen for many months because of it, lost out on jobs and all the rest. So I was impacted personally. I know many people who were impacted personally. I think he's learned about this. I think he's understood it. I think we're moving in the right direction. I also think that there is a movement, this establishmentarian movement that's really behind DeSantis, that are constantly relitigating COVID. They're relitigating the vax. They're relitigating a lot of things, despite the fact that there's really not a lot of gap between DeSantis's positions and Trump's. But they're trying to paint, you know, their candidate, who's obviously DC Uniparty approved, as like this crusader against the vax, the crusader, you know, against COVID and all the rest. When in reality, if you begin to actually look at his record in detail with a microscope, you can begin to see that this just simply wasn't the case. And they're simply using this to turn people that otherwise would be supporting Trump against him. It's a divide and conquer tactic. It's been effective. I think it has turned, you know, some people who otherwise would have been certainly in Trump's corner against him. I think right now we need to stay united. We need to act like a block. We need to act like the left does and march in lockstep to a degree. And I think that strength in numbers, that unity will bring us to victory, political and electorally. But I think if they succeed in these sort of these divisions, these wedge issues, and their ability to sort of paint Trump in a certain light that's not entirely accurate, I think we're toast. I think at the end of the day, Trump's a real person. He's a real man. He could sit, he could talk, he can relate, he can understand, he can internalize what his supporters are saying and writing and feeling. And I think you're not going to get that out of anyone. And I'm not saying he's going to be perfect all the time, but I see him as a conduit to getting what we need done. And I think he's the only person who's going to be willing to listen, to understand, to adapt, to a change and be pragmatic to the time we're living in and rise to the occasion. That is not Ron DeSantis. It's not Mike Pence. It's not.
No. All the people that you're naming are frauds. Mike Pence is a traitor and he should be tried. And DeSantis is an empty suit and he's completely sold out to foreign interests. You know, and so what is it about him? I mean, even this hussy Marjorie Taylor Greene is turning her back on Trump and riding the fence on DeSantis. What is the power mechanism behind DeSantis that's making people who previously were of Trump influence turn into these wishy-washy grifters?
I think it's a lot of push and pull. I think some people are being pulled in by the money and the promises that they're giving, the promises of power, the promises of power within the party apparatus, within DC, within potentially a future admin or, you know, some kind of future power arrangements. And I also think there's a fear factor here. I think these are very vicious people. They're going after people personally. They're attacking them personally. They're digging them up. They're using their bot armies, their anonymous accounts, all of these influences and these factors to come after anyone who dares push back against the DeSantis narrative. I think they're acting like a mob. I mean, they really are. They're acting like an unhinged mob, how they come after people with such vitriol, even if they have the most tepid criticisms of their Lord and Savior, Ron DeSantis. So I think a lot of people are being scared. They've seen what they've done to other people. They don't want to have that happen to them. And I understand that. Look, not everyone's going to rise up to the occasion and be as brave as others can be.
Well, then they should get out.
Right. They should get out. And other people are following the silver. They're following, you know, a few silver pieces. And we've seen that. We've seen how easy it is for them to betray people, for them to stab everything they once believed in the back. And I think this is a problem writ large with the conservative populist, you know, movement, however you want to describe it. I think, you know, there are things on the left we can look and admire. The left have really created sort of like an ecosystem that's able to perpetuate themselves. And the right, frankly, we're constantly divided. We're constantly put against each other. And then we have sellouts left, right, and center who will say and do whatever they need to say for a cheap buck. It's really pathetic. It's really sad. I thought they would have learned from the past, from 2016, 2015. We're seeing the return of the neo-never-Trumpers who are just as unhinged as the original never-Trumpers, just as arrogant, just as ignorant. And they're going to do everything they can to sabotage him. I think they realize at this point that he's going to be the nominee. And I've said today in a tweet that they are in the kamikaze phase of the campaign. They are coming out and they are just waging a war of just, you know, self-destruction. They realize they're going down, but they're going to try to take as many of us down with them.
Yes.
And to leave, you know, just a barren wasteland.
That's the ultimate point right there, is that this is not really, and Trump has said, this is not an attack on me. This is an attack on all of you. And that's exactly what this is. I wish I had all day to talk to you. Gavin Wax, always a pleasure having you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
Heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. These can all be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle listed as side effects. And to top it all off, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. It's not only ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors to be popping ibuprofen pills. That's why researchers are saying to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol. And it doesn't have the dangerous side effects mentioned above either. Better yet, for a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to stopmyinflammation.com right now to get your special offer for being a part of my audience. StopMyInflammation.com.
You survived the first pandemic, but the elite have more planned.
We don't just need more money for vaccines for children. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead.
The enemy is packing every shot with mRNA nanopoison, decimating immune systems, putting millions at risk of vaccine-induced genocide. Trust the medicine that killed COVID. Real supplements that saved families. Dr. Zelenko saved millions with his patented early treatment protocol and now has the shield against hidden viruses. The Z-Stack protocol is your family's best chance at defeating the next bioweapon attack. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from our friend, Dr. Zelenko. A one-pill formula taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com.
Well, I don't know about you, but off and on, I've had trouble sleeping for years. Actually, the majority of Americans struggle to get the sleep that they need. A friend of mine told me that it might be a magnesium deficiency, so I tried a whole bunch of supplements and none of it worked. Well, finally, thanks to this program, I was introduced to nutrition scientist and champion bodybuilder Wade Lightheart, and he told me there's actually 7 types of magnesium and your body needs all 7 in order to get the proper sleep that some of these other companies advertise but just don't produce. Problem is, because of industrial fertilizers, basically all the food that we eat is now deficient in magnesium. Magnesium Breakthrough is the only full-spectrum supplement that includes all 7 forms of magnesium that's on the market. And let me tell you, this stuff actually works. Not only did it finally fix my sleep, but the energy levels that I've experienced have gone through the roof as well. To learn more about Magnesium Breakthrough, go to magbreakthrough.com/StuPeters. Use promo code StuPeters10 to get 10% off your first bottle. You'll be glad that you did. Magbreakthrough.com/StuPeters. It's one of the most suppressed realities in medicine and social science. There is an enormous correlation between being LGBT and all other kinds of mental illness, and there's an enormous correlation between being LGBT and wanting to rape kids. The Williams Institute at UCLA set out to debunk the connection between fat and sex crimes. Well, instead, they proved it. They found that, quote, mass incarceration disproportionately impacts the LGBTQ community. LGBTQ people are at increased risk for being targeted for sex crimes, as historical prejudice and stigma have depicted LGBTQ people, especially gay or bisexual men, as sexual predators. So according to the Williams data, of those on sex offender registries across the United States, 20% identified as some kind of LGBT, far above their overall percentage of the population. In addition to being more heavily represented, gays on sex offender registries are almost twice as likely to have had 3 or more victims, and they were more likely to have committed an offense that resulted in jail or prison time. In other words, their offenses were more severe. UCLA bends over backwards to say this is due to prejudice, but we all know the score. It's just like when they say prejudice is the reason more young black males are in prison. No, that's a lie. They're in prison because they, on average, commit more violent crime. And that's why far more gays are going to prison for sex offenses, because they commit them far, far more often. So what does it mean that our society is taking drag queens and tranny freak shows and leather daddies and all other kinds of depraved sex fetishes and making them into heroes? What does it mean that it's become unacceptable to publicly tell the truth about f*** and what they do? Well, what it means is that we're going to have a lot more kids getting raped in our schools and on our streets. Alex Rosen knows all about that. Alex is an independent journalist. He's been here before. He gained a lot of fame a few weeks ago for confronting sham COVID doctor Peter Hotez outside of his home. That bit of journalism got him denounced by the same psychopaths who tried to keep us all masked and locked up for an entire year during COVID. But besides that, Rosen is best known for Predator Poachers, where he tracks and interviews child predators all over the country. Well, Alex just recently busted a convicted child porn predator who worked as a band teacher in a school. Well, out on probation, that teacher went right back to looking at and sharing child porn online, of course. Alex found out by messaging him posing as an underage person on Grindr and then confronted him.
How's it going? My name's Gord. Is it Mark?
Yeah.
Pleasure to meet you, man. Got some messages from Grindr last night. I think we should probably go over, right?
Yeah.
So how old was the person messaging you yesterday?
He said he was 14.
Okay, so you asked him for a dick pic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna stop. I'll delete everything. I don't know if there's a way that you can check that I delete.
If you had to guess, what would you think is the youngest currently sitting in your chats?
Probably Probably infant, because that's what people do.
Infants?
Yeah, that's what people do. Typically, I've sent those to people that have requested.
Sent infant videos
to... I knew that I had, like, a link that somebody said was
okay.
That.
How recent did that happen?
I'm not sure.
Was it before or after the incident happened in August?
I think I messed up once after, yeah.
We're sending an infant link to somebody? Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. I bet it's a neighbor. I got you. Don't worry about it.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You're sure, dude.
Are you sure it wasn't your ass?
Your shirt, dude.
Get the coffee, camera.
Dude, your shirt.
Yeah, I'll handle it.
What are we
it.
Doing?
Hello.
How's it going, ma'am? There's just a situation. You know, he got arrested for child porn last year. There is some child porn on his phone, but you said you would get rid of the child porn, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it's only like, what, 100 images on there or nothing?
Called the police?
No! He got busted for gay child porn last year. And so we came to his house, interviewed him, and he told us, and you, in front of you on your body camera, that there is child porn on his phone right now. And I believe that's probably probable cause.
That man, that creature, had already been caught for child porn once. But the horrifying thing is, not all predators are as dumb as that one. And so right now, they're being protected by our entire system. Alex Rosen joins us now. You're just out there doing God's work every day.
Yeah, I try to. This guy, I think it was an act of God, that the fact that he messaged us, because I just put out a profile on Grindr, and I typically never do that. And he was the first person to message us when I put the profile up somewhere near San Antonio. And we exchanged phone numbers, and I looked up his phone number, and I saw that this guy got convicted. Well, not convicted yet, but he got charged last year with child pornography, and he was a middle school band teacher. And then come to find out, he's not even fired yet. As far as I know, he's listed on the website. It seems like he's still under administrative leave, which means he's still getting paid from the taxpayers to not do anything but trade child porn. And yeah, I mean, he set up a meeting with who he thought was his 14-year-old, and he backed out of the meeting. I presume he didn't want to get caught for the second time in 2 years or risk that. But I looked up his Telegram name because, you know, there's some ways to do that. And I saw that his name on Telegram was Boys Lover. And I'm like, oh my God, he's doing the same exact thing again. And so we went to his house the next day, and I basically asked him, you know, he was talking about his previous arrest. I'm like, so where does this child porn come from? And he's like, Telegram. And I'm like, did you get caught on Telegram? He's like, well, no, it was Snapchat. I'm like, oh, okay. So that told me that he was, you know, in fact, doing it on Telegram, besides the name, obviously. And then he admits to what y'all heard in the video, just having porn as young as infants on his phone and trading that around. And the cops did their thing and did their job.
Did he get arrested?
He got arrested, yes. He got arrested for online solicitation of a minor. Because in Texas, if you arrange a meeting with who you believe to be a minor, even if you don't go to meet, that's still online solicitation. And he got arrested for obviously possession of child porn, and he got arrested for breaking his bond condition. So one misdemeanor and two felonies.
He said infants, Alex. I mean, this guy said infants, and he goes, that's what people do. That's what people do. He said that like multiple times. That's what people do. Is that what people do?
It is what people do. If y'all go to Predator Poachers channel on Rumble, we've caught countless people who have been into infants the past couple months. There's no limit for them, sadly.
I mean, these people need to be put to death when they're convicted of these crimes. I mean, this is a one-off, right? I mean, this is, you know, just one instance. How much of this is actually systematically occurring?
Gosh, I mean, literally, I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, if we can put up a profile on Grindr and the first person to message us is a person into infants, I mean, who knows? I'm not saying everybody on any app is all into that stuff, but I mean, by chance, if that's somebody we pull as the first person messaging, I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, I think that probably 5% of the population has pedophilic tendencies. That's not a stat. That's just what I think, because it's just so freaking common. I mean, we are talking to over 100 people as we speak.
So if you set up one of these profiles in every, you know, large city in every state across our country, I mean, you could be working 24 hours a day. You said that you're already working and you're talking to 100 people right now. I mean, how do you keep up with all of this?
Well, luckily, we have a great group of decoys who helps us out. Well, they're not us. I mean, they are us, but a great group of decoys who's on the ball 24/7. And yeah, I mean, if you set it up in every major city, you know, if you think we catch a lot of pedos, think about the pedos we're not catching that are like, oh, I could get in trouble for this. I really want to, but I can get in trouble for this. I mean, the law itself is stopping a lot of them. But just the amount of people that would be down for it's unbelievable.
Do a lot of these people, in fact, talk to you, you know, for extended periods of time and tell you about their lives and what their circumstances are and whether or not they identify as LGBT in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, so obviously him being a grinder, he was LGBT. And then a lot of people are, they tell us that when you're a pedophile, they're going after a little girl most of the time, we catch him. But they have child porn of boys. They're into boys too. They just love the idea of a child being abused. So yeah, we catch a lot of predators who end up being bisexual.
Unbelievable. You are just doing an amazing job. Predator Poachers on Rumble. Make sure that you get over there and check it out. Is there a way that people can support you as well? I mean, this is a very noble cause that I would say don't go broke, obviously, giving to this guy. But if you have the means, please. I mean, how can we help you to catch more of these animals?
Well, everybody watching can go sub to Rumble for completely free. And if you guys want to support from Rumble, there's a red join button that's called Locals and a small contribution a month. But if everybody watching just goes to Rumble, we'll be totally fine.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. We need to spread the awareness on this because I think that people think that they're protected from this kind of thing if they live in a small town or they live out in the country or their kids go to a small school or even a private school or even a Christian school or even at church. How many teachers and how many pastors and preachers and priests are doing this to kids and getting away with it? How many people in influential positions of power, like cops, are doing this to little kids and getting away with it? I mean,
yes, that same day we caught a former cop after the teacher.
You did.
So yeah, cops are doing it too.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Thank you. God bless you so much for all of your work. Check it out. Predator Poachers on Rumble. And please click on the Locals. Join. Small contribution every month. Help them continue to do God's work. Alex Rosen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everybody now knows that we live in an upside-down clown world under an empire of lies, a murderous regime. So previously, it may have sounded crazy, but I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that liberals are very upset that people like me are advertising the Vanish holster. They cannot stand how this holster has helped get more Americans armed than ever before. What's so special about this Vanish holster, you might ask? Well, simple. It is the most comfortable holster ever. The most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I have plenty of experience, 15 years in bounty hunting, lots of experience with holsters and firearms. And when you get a Vanish holster, you'll never stop carrying because you'll forget you're even wearing it. Plus, the Vanish holster saves you money. That's because it fits 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. And best of all, because you're a viewer of this program, you get it for $50 off. I am told that this discount is set to expire soon. So kick in your special pricing. Lock it in right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. That's VNSH.com/stew. VNSH.com/stew. It's all back for the money back guarantee. And I believe them when they say it's the only holster that you'll ever need because it's the last one that you'll ever buy. Vanish.com/stew right now, today, before this discount expires. So you have a child, and that child has a diagnosis of ADHD.
The Stu Peter Show is brought to you in part by Earth Echo Food,
and neurotoxins product, like Cocoa Adderall Bliss. And Ritalin, and starts with 100% organic, rare cocoa beans, and also contains turmeric, MCT oil, cinnamon, and Himalayan salt.
And fake doctors.
These ingredients were carefully chosen to support health, longevity, healthy weight, and
destroy your kid's life potentially. With
you'll fall in love with this truly guilt-free chocolate. Help reduce your cravings, associated weight loss, boost your energy, and combat inflammation.
Please
all
use
with one delicious drink,
gluten-free,
paleo, keto, and vegetarian
grown right
as well.
Here in my home state of
you can receive an additional 15% off when you visit earthechofoods.com/stew and use discount
CBD
code
like you
stew.
Will if you go to the corner store, which sells all of this BS from China. Go to curable.com. That's K-U-R-I-B-L, curable.com. Family-owned business, all the hemp sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. So many other benefits to Curable, which you can find on their website. Plus, if you like THC products, they have them as well. Go to curable.com. Use promo code STEW for 20% off site-wide when you go to curable.com.
For healthcare you can trust, go to heroicdoctors.com and connect with the trusted and unbiased doctors of the Wellness Company. This is the future of medical care. Access to top-flight healthcare from anywhere by visiting HeroicDoctors.com and the Wellness Company. You get uncensored content, virtual appointments with trusted medical professionals, doctors who aren't scared to follow protocols that keep you healthy, a real pharmacy that will fill your prescriptions, exclusive treatment packages, vaccine exemption letters, world-class supplements, healthcare products, and so much more. The last few years have proven just how broken our healthcare system is. Access to real medicine shouldn't be dictated by who you know or where you live. Break the power of Big Pharma and keep you and your family safe. Go to heroicdoctors.com and join today.